the sinners out, Lord God, so they can find salvation, they can find redemption, Lord. Pray all the hard work that's gone into the drama, Lord, from the cast and crew and Miles and Linda, they poured their hearts into this, Lord. I pray, just bring a sinner home. Bring a sinner home, Lord. God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would be with us. Lead us, we pray, on this December 8th. We would just be in touch with you, Lord God. I pray that every last person here today would get something from this message. Feed us, Heavenly Spirit. Holy Spirit, just feed us. Feed us today. We thank you. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we all pray and say, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Kids can head off to Sunday school, practicing for next week. It's going to be good. Looking forward to that. Hallelujah. Of technology. Welcome. I always like to make sure that people feel like they're welcome in church. Amen. I mean, just not strangers who straggle into church. You're welcome in the church, in the house of God. Every last person is welcome, whether you've been here for years, or this is your first Sunday, or whatever, we welcome each and every one of you. And we always pray that, I don't want to say we feel that you're right at home here in church, because, you know, when the Holy Spirit moves, we get a little bit of anxiousness in our heart, because when he starts convicting, things begin to happen. Amen? So we pray that you'll feel at home, that you'll feel a little bit of conviction today as well. Amen. So, how are you doing? Good. Great is the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody have the Bible app on your phones or whatever? I don't know if anybody saw this week, but the Bible app announced on Friday that there's the most popular verse of 2019 so far this year. It's been one that many people search in the Bible app, and they've tabulated, and this is the one that most people are looking at and viewing in the Bible app. It's from Philippians 4, verse 6, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So if you look for that verse of Scripture on the Bible app, maybe you have, I don't know, but it's the number one verse of Scripture that people are looking at right now. Hallelujah. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, there used to be a lot of Christianese, the terminology of people when they greeted each other, said things. You'd walk up to somebody and say, "Glory to God! Good to see you, brother or sister. Amen." Yeah. Remember those times? I don't hear that very much anymore, the "Glory to God." It seems like we've kind of dwindled down in our vocabulary, and we've missed some of those words. I think we need to get back some of that stuff that we practiced back in the 70s and 80s. I don't know about you. I know that many of you perhaps were not saved in the 70s or 80s or even into the 90s. Maybe you're a late bloomer in Christian faith. I don't know. But these were some of the things that I grew up in back in the 70s, that it was just like, you know, hallelujah, praise hallelujah. You know, it was kind of just all the time, glory to God. And I just thought I would put up that bumper sticker on the back of a car just to remind you of those things, because that's exactly where we're going today in the Scriptures. I'll try to be as short as possible today, because I know it's going to be a busy evening, and I say short as possible because I never know what possible means. So I will just try to do the best I can today, because I know, I don't know, is the drama practicing this afternoon? Yes, no? But give them the afternoon now to relax. Anyway, would you turn with me in your Bibles, and I have the Scripture up there as well, Christmas Story, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I'll begin reading from verse 8 down to verse 14. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out of the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Now listen to this. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Now, when we say they're greatly afraid, we have to understand this is the shepherds. The angels were rejoicing. The shepherds were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God." How do you like that? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, we ask your blessings on this word. As we search back in the scriptures, as we remind ourselves, it's this wonderful time of the year when Jesus Christ was born. Help us in our minds to reflect upon the birth of a baby, but not just any baby, but the Lord Jesus Christ in that manger scene. And we thank you today, Lord, that you're with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The angelic host, they were, could we say, shouting out? I don't see how angels could be quiet at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think they could just say, "Yo, bless you, bless you, bless you. Yo, glory to God in the highest." I think that the lungs were filled with the breath and the, I don't know, the makeup of an angel, but if they had breath in their lungs, I'm sure that they were just bellowing it out. Just bellowing it out. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And I believe that this was a time that had become familiar to us at Christmas, especially if you even look at some of the Christmas cards. It's beautiful. I like Christmas cards. Sometimes you get a Christmas card that says, "Glory to God in the highest," and it's almost like when you read that card, you should be shouting when you look at it. But it's "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I would specifically like to look at, on this December 8th, something to make us reflect on God's glory. God's glory. Would you like to find and deepen your life in God's glory today and in some special way? I pray that you do. Perhaps it's one of the hardest words to understand and probably least used in our everyday conversations is the word glory. The least used but maybe least understood is the word glory. But in the Bible, it's a vital thing. It's a powerful thing. It's a very much used word, the glory of God. It gives us the depth and the strength and the purpose of worshiping God, to go into his glory, to find that place and to worship God and to find the glory of God and to know about the glory of God. That's perhaps why the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest." In all the days of the Bible, the great moments we read about on the pages of Scripture, this day was for sure one of the highest days, if not the highest day, for all of heaven to rejoice at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our Bibles and in our history, it should be something that we always look back on, and at Christmas time, take some rejoicing into your heart, because this is the time when Jesus, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we need to celebrate more, amen? This was the day when the angels shouted out, "Glory to God in the highest." Why? This is when the move happened. We used to sing a song that went like, "The move is on, my Lord, the move is on." Anybody remember that song? "The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. Move on, brother. Move on, sister." Nobody knows that song. You know it? Amen. Anybody else know it? Yes, some of them. Good. Hallelujah. All the ones who are older than me. Makes me feel better. I mean, this was like, you know, they ought to sing that. The move is on. This is the move. Heaven came down. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. This is a sign that's given to you. Glory to to God in the highest. Hallelujah. I like that. Say that. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Sounds like you mean it.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest. You know, the word glory, it's often used in the, I guess we could say in the Christian circles, but as with many church words, its meanings may not be clearly understood. So let me give you a little few moments in this time. I'm trying to keep it short as possible, okay? And the word glory in the Old Testament is the word K-A-V-A-D-H, kavad, which brings this idea with it, a heaviness or a weightiness. When you think of the glory of God, it's this weightiness. I like what Lawrence Richards said. He said, glory implies more than a disclosure by God of who he is. It implies an invasion of the material universe, an expression of God's active presence among his people. I like that. It's an invasion of God's presence into the very place where you and I are living. It's an invasion of God's presence. I like to be invaded like that. Hallelujah. Then when you get over to the New Testament, the word glory is doxa, D-O-X-A, where we probably get our word doxology from. But it echoes the use of the understanding of kavod from the Old Testament and the meaning of its salvation history. And Lawrence Richards says this, and I know this paragraph may be a little bit lengthy, but I read this, and this is something that is a really good interpretation of what the glory of God is. Listen to this. The New Testament speaks of two different expressions of the divine glory. One expression is visible, yet is perceived only by the eyes of faith. Thus, the incarnation can be described in these words: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. Yet the unbelieving saw only the carpenter's son. The unbelieving only saw the carpenter's son from Nazareth. It was the believing who saw in his person and in his actions the ultimate unveiling of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the glory of God was real. And this is what John spoke of in his gospel in John chapter 1. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him to us. Or could I say, shown us the Father's glory? Shown us the glory in that declaration? See, the idea that salvation in the Old Testament of the use of glory to come, but in the New Testament, the glory of God has arrived. They talked about it in the Old Testament. They perceived that something was happening. They waited for Messiah. But over the New Testament, glory arrived in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, but remember back in the Old Testament when Moses was called out to be the one who was going to lead the nation of Israel, and he was going to take them into that promised land, but yet they had to go through all the Red Sea and the wilderness and all those things. And you know all the battles that they were going through, the ups and downs, the confusion, the disobedience, and all the things that happened. And Moses was getting a little frustrated as he was going along, listening to the people and going up in the mountain and so forth. But he was getting frustrated, and he sat down this one day and said, Moses said to him, please, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Yeah, I think that if he was going to take any more progress in that walk that God had called him to, he said, look, I need to see the glory. I need to see, I need to know what to expect of you, God. I need to know where you're leading me, God. I need to know where you are going, what you're doing. I need to know all those things. So if I'm going to follow anything, I need to follow your glory. And so the fire by day and fire by night and the cloud by day, it was so beautiful to follow. You know, as I look at that, you know, it's, in other words, Moses was saying, show me what I'm supposed to expect of you. Isn't that what we say? God, show me what you expect of me. Show me what you're going to do in my life. And that word glory, is, it also functions in reference to the brightness of light. Remember Saul on the Damascus Road? And he got all these letters to persecute Christians and to bring them in and to imprison. imprison him. And he was on the Damascus Road, and a bright light shone. The light could indeed be the glory of God. Do you think it was? He testified about that. In fact, several times when he was brought on the carpet about why you are like the way you are, he said, I was walking down this Damascus Road, and this bright light shone, which blinded my eyes, but yet I believe it was God. He said, I was blinded by this intense light. You can read that in Acts chapter 22, verse 1. And if you were to go to the word light in the Greek, it's phos, P-H-O-S. Maybe where we get phosphorus, kind of the word that we use in our English language, but it's a light that shines, and the majority of the New Testament usages of this word phos are in the Gospels and in the Acts, when the light was shining when Jesus Christ was born. And you get to the Gospel of John, and this word phos or light is 23 times. And John even started off his Gospel like this, in Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 4, in Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light phos of men. He's the light of men. He's the glory of God. And in this understanding of Jesus, when these angels at the birth of Christ announced that famous verse, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The New Testament is bringing to us this life. All the prophecies of the direction of the Old Testament, all the teachings of the Old Testament, all the expectations of the Old Testament, everything that the Old Testament was giving us and all the understanding, it was bringing to light the glory of God in Jesus. Hallelujah. Say it again, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Sounds good. You're going to be saying that all day long, right? When you walk into the supper tonight, just say, glory to God, we're getting together as a family. Hallelujah. Okay? You can just shout it out when you get in there. Glory to God. You know, that's why many of the New Testament writers and the preachers, they were trying to get across to those all around them, like, you know, we are today, the glory of God. It's depth. It's height. It's immensity. The glory of God. I mean, how do you explain the glory of God to somebody who has no faith? How do you explain, like, you know, people would have listened to Moses and said, show me your glory. If somebody walked into church today who knew not Jesus Christ and we're all crying out, God, show us your glory. They would say, yeah, I knew they were flipped. No, but I go through and I see these people in the New Testament that they were into the glory of God. They were in that very walk. They were following His glory. They were following the leading of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. I mean, if you were to go to that great servant of God, Stephen, in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7, you would find out that, you know, they were mustering up all these false witnesses towards Stephen because he was a man of the full of the Holy Spirit. And he was winning converts like crazy to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the synagogue and the Jewish leaders, and it even says the synagogue of the freedmen, I don't think they were very free, because they began to bring accusations against Stephen. They accused him, and they brought him before all the people before him. And all who sat in the council, it says in Acts chapter 6, looked steadfastly at him, and they saw his face as the face of an angel. I wonder why. Is it because he knew the glory of God? And then you get over to his sermon in Acts chapter 7, and here's Stephen standing before all these peoples with all these rocks in their hand, just ready to throw it at him and to get rid of him because he's just a menace to their way of life. But this is what happens. The high priest said, are these things so? And Stephen says, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. How does he know about the glory of God appearing to Abraham unless he was in the same glory that Abraham was in? You know, Stephen, he knew exactly what it was like to get into the glory of God. He made reference about the glory of God was revealed to Abraham. Now Abraham, you remember that he was called from his country, called from his family, and told to go to a land of which he wasn't even shown where he was going. I tell you, there must be something leading Abraham. Must be something taking him along the road to bring him to that place. I believe it was the glory of God. The glory of God was revealed to him. Just like Stephen said, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham, just like he was appearing to Stephen in the New Testament. Thank God that the glory of God is not limited to the Old Testament, nor limited to just when Jesus was born. But today, the glory of God is here with us. Amen? Another place we see this reference to God's glory is that beautiful portion of Scripture, Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he left the glory and came down to you and I, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus spoke of the glory, spoke to those around him about the glory. And then you go over to John chapter 12, just prior to Jesus going to the cross, he said this in John chapter 12, verse 23, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Interesting. But the Son of Man, I don't consider a death glorifying. I don't consider punching nails through somebody's hand and feet glorifying. I don't think when you pierce the side of a man that I would say that's glorifying. But Jesus said, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Hallelujah. In other words, the glory is coming. In John chapter 17, that great prayer of Jesus relating his relationship to the Father and also to the church and also bringing all those who follow Jesus into that same fold of family said this in John chapter 17, verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Isn't that neat? And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And the glory which you gave me, I gave them. Wow. Do you have it today? Now, there's hundreds of references. I went through my concordance in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that gives us this great understanding of the glory of God. And I don't think we study the glory of God enough, or do we know enough about the glory of God that is so much prevalent in our lives. No wonder the angels declared at that very moment, glory to God in the highest at the birth of this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting, you know, also to see that there's this negative side to the glory of God. You didn't realize that, did you? But if you were to go back in your Bibles, you would see an interesting side, because back in the Old Testament, if you remember, there was a guy by the name of Joshua, who was the kind of the next leader after Moses. And God said, I'll be with you everywhere you go, every place the sole of your foot treads, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, he's going to be with them. And he's leading them into that area of that land which was theirs, that every place where his foot went, that was their property. And so here they're going along. And do you remember a guy by the name of Achan? Anybody got any Achan in your body? Anyway, this guy's name was Achan. And when they went in, they were not supposed to take any of the stuff from the cities that they were going in. But Achan was kind of, you know, a little bit tempted. And it says that Achan stole this Babylonian garment. He took 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, and he buried them underneath his tent. Now, the next place they went into, Ai, they were defeated by the people of Ai. And Joshua was saying, God, you told me, your glory came down and told me that everywhere I went, I'd be a winner. What happened? So God revealed it to him that there was somebody who was in sin in the camp. And I went to this interesting portion of Scripture. Now, I don't think we very often relate repentance with glory. But listen to what Joshua says to Achan when they find out that he's the one that has stolen all this property. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord." Does that sound like repentance? "I beg you, give glory to the God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done, so do not hide it from me." Imagine, "I beg you, give glory to the Lord." In other words, get back to the glory of God. In other words, you've stepped out. Sin came into your life. You left the glory. Give God the glory. There's a repentance going on here. And Joshua seemed to give this idea that giving God the glory was a form of repenting. Give God the glory. Give him the glory. You know, if somebody's deep in sin, I doubt they'll be giving God the glory. I don't think we'll be able to say glory to God while they're living in sin. If you're living in sin today, turn from it, give God the glory, and repent from your sins. Amen. We also see in the book of Acts that, remember, King Herod, who was a very proud, prideful king, and you come down to the very place and everything he did, he said, "Oh, I did it, it's all about me." And he was a fat old man just sitting on his throne, just taking all the goodness out of everything, part of the land. But it says in Acts chapter 12, verse 23, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. He did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. So it's a very meaningful thing to give glory to God. Amen. I don't want to get eaten by worms and die. I don't want to chew. I want to stay intact. But this glory of God is, it's very important to be informed about and have understanding around. So it seems the angels were informing the shepherds in all of humanity, really, that at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time that states the whole world and for all time, glory to God in the highest. Things have changed. Those angels showed up and filled the sky when the world's the glory of God in the highest. We may not know the extent or the depth of what it means when they said glory to God in the highest, but I somehow think that when you say glory to God in the highest, you should be saying all praise be to God. All honor be to God. That should be the praise of the redeemed. Are you redeemed here today?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody redeemed?
Yes.
Everybody redeemed?
Yes.
Getting closer. Everybody redeemed?
Yes.
Good. You're not thinking about turkey tonight, are you? Amen. You know what the redeemed are supposed to be like? I love Psalm 102, verse 2. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so."
Amen.
Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Hallelujah.
All the praise, glory to God in the highest. Yes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I think something will happen to us when we get into the glory of God. You are redeemed today, aren't you?
Yes.
You know, back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, God said to Moses, "You should remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord, your God, redeemed you." You want to remind them of that. Then you go over to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." I like that. Psalm 100, verse 3. I used to sing that at the song of God. "Make me joyful, those who do the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Amen? And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Gave him glory so that you and I could receive that glory. Amen?
Amen.
I think those angels were right to proclaim with their loudest speech, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Now, I was trying to define glory in some way. How do you define glory? how do you get at its aspects? And I was searching through some of my theologians and some of the people, and I just found it. Some of the best things I found with Barnes' notes on the New Testament, and it could have several meanings, but I think we could pick any one of them as what you see up there on the screen. But I like these four kind of definitions, and you may want to lodge in one of them, I don't know. There's four different channels at which they said that many theologians fall into. First, when we think of the glory of God, it could be the highest strains or in the highest possible manner. Second, among the highest, that is, among the angels of God, indicating that they felt a deep interest in this work and were called on to praise God for the redemption of man. Third, understanding is in the highest heavens, indicating that the praise of redemption should not be confined to the earth, but should spread through all the universe. Or the fourth idea is the words God in the highest may be equivalent to the Most High God and be the same as saying, let the Most High God be praised for his love and mercy to men. So which of those meanings is a true one? Behind door number, and you can pick the door, whatever you want, as you look at those things. But we have to understand that God is all about redeeming mankind, and it's in his glory that we find that redemption. I love this psalm. I love when I get up here to preach because I get to tell you all my favorites. You know, just share with you my favorites. But this Psalm 85, verse 9 says, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth. I mean, can you picture this? They're kissing together. Look, there's so much in love. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. And listen to this psalm about the glory of God. Psalm 19, beginning of verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. The heavens declare the glory of God. So, trying as best I can to get to the end, and here we come. Everybody know Isaiah 53. Many people quote that portion of scripture and love getting into Isaiah chapter 53. He's despised and rejected by men. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, as I look at that, we always go there, Isaiah chapter 53, when we're talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that in that same chapter, Isaiah 53, also talks about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you find it? Let me just give it to you for a second. It's found in verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, a root, a dry ground. You know, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that first advent, was like that tender plant coming into the world. All the dry ground that was around this world, but here's this tender plant being put right into this world because of the Father's love. Jesus came to this dry, parched ground religiousness and ways of man and doing our own thing. He came to this dry, parched ground, sin-sick as people were then, as they are now. But the dry ground, when you think about it, is always too hard. I don't know about you when it comes to summer. I always think about summer, not about winter. But when it comes to summer, I think if the sun shines and there's not enough rain, that ground gets very dry and sometimes even cracks a little bit. And you have to take something to really get it going so you can dig it up and get some water into that soil and get it useful for the plants. But dry ground is usually too hard to allow most plants to penetrate its crust. If you had a seed underneath there, it's very hard for that seed to come up through that dry ground. But in the Old Testament, Jesus was prophesied here in Isaiah chapter 53 as this tender plant that would break through the dry, parched ground. He's that tender plant that is placed right there by the hand of God, the Son of God, so that he would overcome that dry and lifeless environment of which this whole world was living in to bring the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And when Jesus was born, people were hardened to God's word as they are today. We are told that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was this 400 years of silence. In other words, God was not speaking. The prophets had nothing to say. Nothing was being recorded. Nothing was given to them. No prophecies. The religious leaders had studied and memorized all of the Old Testament. They've gone through it all. They knew the scriptures. But the words when Jesus came were lifeless and meaningless to them. They looked at Jesus and they remembered the Old Testament scriptures and they could not relate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how parched and dry the ground is when Jesus came. The Word of God, they did not know it in that sense. When Jesus came into this world, all those religious leaders, they built up all this hostility that their very core was being shaken because of this tender plant that came into the world. They were hostile to the truth. I love Wednesday nights. We've been learning through many of these several things about the Truth Project. And they were hostile to the truth. They did not want to receive the truth. They couldn't take, here's Jesus standing right in front of them saying that I am truth. They could not receive it. Their desire was, as Luke chapter 22 verse 2 says, and many other verses tell us, that their only desire was to kill Jesus, to do away with him. But thank God that Jesus, despite all the adversity, brought life to all who believed in him. I like when you read in the scriptures, some followed, some didn't. Some believed in him, some didn't. Thank God for those ones that opened their eyes to truth. Thank God when that tender plant was raised up into this whole wide world that some people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, was very capable of coming to a parched, dry, meaningless society, but yet he came to this place, and it's very important that we understand that Jesus brought life. And the life and the likeness of men who believed in him. You know, even the toughest sinner can break underneath that tender plant that comes into the dry, cold, hard hearts. I've shared with you about my brother Les a couple of years ago, that he gave his heart to the Lord in the battles that I went through over the years with him and tried to witness to him and talk to him. But 2 years ago, my sister and her son went down there to the hospital in Toronto and relayed a message to me that my brother Les had given his heart to the Lord. He had a messed up life. The last 2 years with his Parkinson's and being fed through his stomach has been very hard for him. My brother Ken sent me an email last night that my brother Ken, and I've shared this with some people, that my brother Les has been taken back and forth from the Chartwell residence that he's in to the Toronto General Hospital. Have been going back and forth, and nobody seems to want him because of all of his nature of his problems in the medical area. But my brother Ken sent me an email last night saying that my brother Les has been taken into the palliative care in the Toronto General Hospital. And as I hear that, my heart is broken. Yeah. But yet my heart rejoices. 2 years ago, my brother Les gave his heart to the Lord. Hard, dry soil? Yes. Maybe you got family members. It's been hard. Maybe you got neighbors, people you've been talking to, and it's hard. It's hard, dry soil. It just doesn't seem like there's any hope of seeing them come to Jesus. It just doesn't seem like there's any possibility to ever come to Jesus. And I was, tell you the truth, I was getting to the place of writing off my brother Les. I thought he was so hard. And one day I got a call. So Russ, my life is messed up. I've lived wrong, done wrong things, wrong direction. I need help. I wish I could have been there with him. I told him, I said, I gotta get down to see you, and I couldn't. But my sister told me I'm going down. I said, because she's saved. I said, go. My sister Linda, I said, go. Something's happened in his heart. This is the time. And get ready for those times when something's going to happen. Get ready for that moment, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. You're going to see a tender plant in those ones who you don't think that will come to Jesus. He's going to be like that tender plant, just going into the heart, because that's what he does really professionally, and he's well equipped to get into the heart of every lost person on planet Earth. He can get right into the heart and let that little seed that looks like it's all dry and parched and won't ever take root in that heart, he's the one that can kind of push it back and let that seed come right up into the heart and bring salvation, bring conviction, bring redemption, and bring all that Jesus Christ was meant for that heart to have, to bring them home to the Father's heart. That's why Jesus came. So no wonder those angels shouted out, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Amen. Would you stand with me when the worship team come, please? Hallelujah. 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 Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. God, I'm praying for my brother Les right now. God, the physical extremities of his life, the Parkinson's, being fed through the stomach is horrendous. The quality of life for him is terrible. But God, every time we've gone up to see him, and I'm hoping that he holds on till I get up there at Christmas. I would like to see him one more time. But God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you saved his soul. Thank you that you became that tender shoot going up into his heart.
Hallelujah.
Bringing all that we've talked, my sister and I, and witnessed to him, bringing all those things back to his remembrance. And so, God, I'm very grateful. I give you all the glory and the honor and praise for what's happened with my brother.
Hallelujah.
So, God, now, I know that many people here are fighting over lost ones, praying over people, their families, their lives. They want to see them come to Jesus. So I'm praying, oh God, I'm praying, God, that you would minister today. Bring us back to the place of hope for our loved ones. Bring us back to the place of believing that Christ can be that tender shoot, that very core that goes into the heart of people. Realizes that God is able. God is able. God is able.
Hallelujah.
God, break down those barriers. Break them down in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Break down every argument.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Break down every bit of confusion that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not.
Hallelujah.
Break it down in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That even this week through these three dramas, Lord, perhaps some family members may come in here and we could do some shouting because the tender plant rose into the hearts and got them saved and brought them to the place of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could shout out with the angelic host, glory to God in the highest. Oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that over this Christmas season, Lord, who knows who's going to come through the doors of this church? Who knows who will be convicted by the Holy Spirit? Who knows what God is going to do through the city of Cornwall and all the surrounding area? Who knows what you can do? But, God, your word tells us that you do miracles and you do signs and wonders and nothing is impossible for you. So, God, we praise you today. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, all deserving of you, God, because everything is done is because of you. My heart is saved because of you. People in this church today are saved because of you. And so we give you the glory and the honor and the praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. 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 This week, all the drama truth presentations. I don't know if you've been inviting people or trying to get your family here, but I think it would be good to come and stand at this altar and say, God, I'm believing. I'm believing. I'm believing. Now I'm going to go out and invite them, but I'm believing. I'm believing. I'm believing. Would you do that? Somebody in your life, some neighbor, loved one, somebody you've been talking to, you're just hoping that this will be the year for salvation for them. I think it would be good to get around this altar and just cry out to God. Oh, to God. That He would save them. Save them. Save them. Save them. Save them. Oh, hallelujah.
That's you. That's
right, God.
You bring life. Jesus. The dark.
Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
In our lives.
here we are. Here we are. Here we are. We're crying out. Crying out for souls. Crying out for our brothers, sisters, moms, dads, sons, daughters, whoever it may be in our family. Lord, we're crying out for them right now in the name of Jesus. God, you heard this. There's a focus on names this morning from people standing at this altar. You heard the names. You know who they are. God, you've been going after them. But God, we're just praying. Spirit of God, do something extra this winter. Do something extra this Christmas. God, as we pray, Lord, as we know all the prayers of the saints are in the bowls at the very altar of God. We're crying out. We lay their names in there. We lay their names in there. Their people, their loved ones. We love them so very much. But God, they know you not. So we're praying today. We're interceding. We're interceding. We're standing in the gap. We're in that place, oh God, where we're praying for our loved ones. God, convict them even at this very moment. At this very moment, Lord, let there be a tidal wave of conviction just flowing at them right now, Lord. Let them have a sense, oh God, that God loves them so very much, that it's His will that they would be saved and set free. God, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we're waiting for the testimonies. We're looking forward. We're expecting testimonies. We're expecting people to get saved, Lord. We're expecting for miracles, Lord God. We're expecting for those signs and wonders and miracles that only come from your hand, because the glory of God rests in you, Lord God. And just like Moses said, God, show me your glory. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Because we want to follow you. We want to do what the glory wants through our lives. So we follow you, God. So we follow you, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. In our lives. Hallelujah. 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 Controls the beat of your heart. He controls every part of our lives. And guess what? In your family, you're saved. You know Jesus. And He put you there strategically because your family needs Him. Hallelujah. Your family needs Jesus. That's why we're saved. I'm so glad that I got saved, because after I got saved, my sister came in. She got saved. And then after my sister, 2 years ago, my brother got saved. My last brother's Ken. I'm believing for him. He's the oldest, the wisest. You know how those ones, you don't conceive of this salvation. Oh, yeah. I'm believing for my brother Ken. Amen. I'm believing. So, Father, we thank you. God, it feels so good. It's your breath in our lungs. As that breath goes in and comes out, we're crying out for our lost loved ones. We're praying for the ones that we love so very much, and we want to see them in heaven with us. We want to see them walking the streets of gold and glory with us, Lord God. Jesus, you came into this world to save us from our sins. Thank you. We give you all the glory for our salvation. God, there's work to be done. There's work to be done. There's people to be saved. So let us never get tired. Let us never stop praying. Let us never stop believing. Never, let us never, ever stop going to those people that need you. God, we pray tonight, even tonight, Lord, that something happen to bring somebody into the fold, somebody into the kingdom. We praise you. We give you this whole day. We thank you for this morning. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise in the mighty and the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everybody said, amen. 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 To God be the glory.